In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-.
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
We have merch. Check out the AmericanGlutton.net shop. We've got t-shirts, hoodies, hats, and more. A number of people have come up to me wearing American Glutton merch, and nothing fills my heart with more pride than seeing somebody in one of these t-shirts. And I've been stopped on the street and asked where to get it when somebody sees me in an American Glutton hoodie. Well, you can get it all at the shop on AmericanGlutton.net. And my favorite t-shirt, Yesterday It Was Tomorrow, Right Now, is up now. Get it while supplies last.
Hi, I'm Ethan Suplee. Welcome to American Glutton. Outside of acting, my two favorite things to do are diet and eat. I have a very complicated relationship with food, and on this podcast, we're going to talk about all of it. Food as entertainment, food as sport, food as fuel. I'll talk to experts and the average person, just like you and me.
I hate to ask you to do anything, but if you're enjoying the show, please take a moment to like, subscribe, rate, review, all of the above on whatever app you're getting it from. Today on the show, I'm talking to Nagina Abdullah. She has a website called MasalaBody.com where she has helped over 1,500 women lose weight. Please enjoy the conversation. Nagina Abdullah, welcome to the American Glutton Podcast.
Hello, how are you? I'm just so excited to be here.
Thanks for joining me. So I want to hear all about your journey and what prompted it and what you overcame.
Oh my gosh, absolutely. Well, I had struggled with my weight and my sugar cravings for my entire life. I was always the person in a group that looked like I wasn't treating myself with care, but yet I was the one who was counting my calories, working out the most, but still the most self-conscious. And so this really lasted for multiple decades in my life until I was in my 30s and then had two children. And at that time, I became the most I had ever been because I had these challenges that were happening, but then I had extra weight that came from the kids. And you know, before I had tried every single diet out there, from Atkins to Weight Watchers to South Beach to eating, like counting my calories, and nothing really worked sustainably. Like I would lose weight, like 10 pounds or sometimes a little bit more, but it was based on restriction. And the moment that I would get to my a place where I was somewhat, you know, satisfied or I saw progress, I would just start doing all the things that got me there. I would start doing those things again, and reversing my results. So, you know, this was because I was following diets and they weren't sustainable and I was doing temporary steps. So after I had my kids, I was working in a very demanding job. I didn't have as much time because I had children, and I thought, I don't have time to do what I was doing before, and I don't have time to keep gaining and losing like 10 pounds forever because I want to do so much. And so I started researching all of this scientific information because I have a degree in molecular and cell biology from UC Berkeley. So I started going to all of my scientific journals, looking at what worked. And I found out there was a lot of foods that you should be adding versus taking away and then combining to balance blood sugar. And I did a lot of what I learned, but I paired it with my upbringing, which as a traditional, growing up in a traditional Indian family, we used a lot of spices and herbs. So I started pairing all of these principles together, and it blew my mind. I lost 40 pounds in 9 months. I got to 20 pounds below my pre-pregnancy weight. I was the most in shape in, you know, ever. And now it's been over 12 years. I'm now in midlife facing all of the midlife types of things around perimenopause and those kinds of things. And it's staying off. With some additional work that I'm now adding in. And so, you know, after going through this journey, a lot of people started asking me, what are you doing? Why do you look, you know, better after children? How are you able to do this with all the other things in your life? And so I started my blog, masalabody.com, and now have gone full time with it and have coached over 1,500 other women in midlife on how to create a sustainable lifestyle.
That's amazing. Yeah, I have 4 kids and I grew up in Hollywood, and I would definitely, most of my male friends would eat cheeseburgers and never gain weight. And I was constantly going like, oh, I can't have that kind of food. And then there would be some gals even who would be like, I can eat anything I want. And I'd just go like, okay, well, that's all you're going to eat today. Or, you know, you have better genes than I do. But I worked with some girls who were very slim, had babies. And then, you know, like overnight almost looked like they did prior to being pregnant. And that was not my wife's experience. My wife's experience was very much, I think, what the average woman's experience is, which you gain a bunch of weight and then it's a slog to get it off. So that's got to be helpful to a lot of people.
Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. And it's not based on dieting anymore. It's more based on understanding how to eat to boost your metabolism, how to increase metabolism. And that's really why it's worked for so long.
Yeah. I also like the idea, the notion you said of adding foods, because we do get very kind of narrow minded about like things we cannot eat, stuff we have to remove from our diet. And there are lots of diets just based on this principle, whether it be like lectins, cut out lectins, or cut out carbohydrates, or, you know, cut out X, Y, or Z, and your life will be miraculously solved. I like the idea of just like add some stuff, you know?
Yes, absolutely. And it's a more positive way to, and this is part of the reason that it's sustainable. It's part of a sustainable system, is because anytime you're doing something where you're taking away, that's negative. So you feel bad, you feel guilty if you don't do what has been said, and you're always focused on not doing things. So when you focus on, oh my God, I get to add this spice to my coffee, or I get to add all of this food to my plate, and I have to do that to boost my metabolism, it's so much more rewarding, sustainable, and it really works for fat burning.
Yeah. And you're finding that that's all done through spices and stuff that's just available at the market?
Well, it's done through definitely all natural foods that are found at the grocery store, but it's really around eating real food. So spices are part of the metabolism booster, but really 95% of it is the actual food that we're eating. And so what that is, so I call it, and I've created this framework because I felt like it was too complex to continue following a meal plan or looking for recipes all over the internet. It was just something I didn't have time to do anymore, and like forget one ingredient and then I can't make it. So instead of using that format, it's been so much more helpful for me. And I've experimented on what worked for me, I found a framework that worked. Whenever I was eating this way, my fat just kept melting away. That's really how it felt. And so the framework is called the Fat Burning Food Framework, and it has 4 parts to it. And so it starts off with protein. So you're having protein more. I call it protein more because it's usually more protein than you probably were eating before. And we really want to start with protein, you know, as a first stop. And then pairing that with veggies, which I call tasty veggies. And that's where you really want to prioritize those spices, because we all know we're supposed to eat veggies and vegetables and salads, but the main problem with it for many people is that they're not enjoying the taste of it.
I hate vegetables. If I'm being completely fair, I eat vegetables as though I'm like, so my wife doesn't force me to take vitamins. Like that is basically the deal, but I look at them and I'm like, well, I have to eat this. And I want the fiber, like I want the benefits of it, but it's very, very rare. You know, listen, you cover broccoli in melted cheese, I'll eat it all day long, but I'm really enjoying the melted cheese, which I would enjoy without the broccoli too. yes. You know what I mean? But like vegetables are tough for me. And I last year was getting woefully low amounts of fiber and had to increase that and had a rough time of it, did acclimate myself to it, and now feel okay getting 40 grams of fiber naturally in my diet every day, which is quite a bit, and I'm not taking fiber pills. So I do eat a lot of vegetables, but I will say that's not the part of my meals that I enjoy or look forward to. There's no point where I'm like, I can't wait to eat this giant bowl of cabbage.
See, okay, so part of the thing that can start to happen is that there is a way to start loving vegetables. Like it doesn't happen, you know, unless you're really eating a lot of them and unless you're really enjoying them. So the first thing that I did to start loving vegetables was to add spices to it. And so some of the spices are things like, first of all, salt and pepper is a basic. I mean, you gotta have that on there. There's nothing wrong with salt if you're adding it yourself. Because you have a lot more control over it. And then also having, using spices like cumin, which is proven to fight belly fat and to decrease belly fat. And then also coriander, which de-bloats because it decreases water retention. And they're both spices that are not spicy. They're very mild in flavor, but they're just adding something to it. So, you know, doing that or using lemon pepper, like using the spice blend like lemon pepper or anything but the bagel from Trader Joe's, you know, any of those things, putting that on your veggies, roasting them because that brings out the sweetness even more. And over time, what happens is that if we're eating like that consistently, our gut health actually turns over and your gut starts craving more vegetables and wanting it. And so now I'm at a place where I eat my vegetables first. Like I don't feel satisfied until I've had a really large serving of vegetables. And when I don't have it, I notice I feel really hungry and I do feel lower energy. And so it's like it's kind of like free calories or free filling up your body because it has so much fiber, you're eating it and it's keeping you full and satiated. So you're not craving sugar or unhealthy carbs. So it's like a preventative in that way as well. And then you start to really enjoy it and it feels good in your gut. Like you can actually feel it. But this is definitely, I hear what you're saying, because this is the biggest challenge, that the fact that it's not tasty and you're not craving it. It's like, you want to crave it. Otherwise it's a responsibility. But at least you're taking,
I'm with you. Like, I feel better now too. Like I think it's very easy with any of these kind of habits that you put in place that like, that's how I'm eating now. And I notice that I feel better. It would not take me long at all to go back to revert to my old ways. So it is something that I continually have to work at, but I do feel better. So that's one of the things that's keeping me going. You know, if I just felt bloat, I'm not going to lie. When I started increasing my fiber intake, I felt like garbage for 2 weeks. Like I was like, this is insane. Who wants to feel this way? I was gassy and bloated. And then I wasn't anymore. I like pushed through that and I was okay. And I do feel better now. I think that's totally correct. I'm going to try some of those spices because I still don't necessarily enjoy my vegetables.
Yes, absolutely. And then like cooking it in a way that really, that makes it a little bit sweeter because there's a natural sweetness that comes out. So vegetables are really key in the fat burning food framework because you're staying full with very high fiber foods that are very low calories. Also, like a whole entire cup of broccoli is like 35 calories, but it has so much nutrition, so many vitamins, so much fiber. And it also actually has a little protein too, which adds up if you're having more. So really those two things, and then also being conscious of where your carbs are coming from. So I don't advocate no carbs, or even in midlife, we're finding that it's more important to have carbs. Like, yes, low carb could work, before, and it does work, but in midlife, what happens is when you go too low carb, it affects a lot of your hormone production. And so we could see a lot more Hashimoto's or hypothyroidism or other hormones decreasing more quickly, because you're not eating enough. And so that's why eating more is so important.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of I eat carbs. I didn't for a long time. And I just think that people should know, if that's the diet they're going to do, a no or low carb diet, quite a bit of the initial loss of weight on the scale that you see is purging your system of glycogen and water. It's mm-hmm. not like when I go on a diet, I want to burn fat. That's my goal. But we're only measuring total weight. And there's no way to know day to day, like how much fat did I burn yesterday versus how much water have I lost. You up your salt or down your salt, you're going to have a fluctuation in water. Carbs hold like four times the water that salt does, and it stores in your muscles. So a lot of these diets, like I lost 10 pounds the first week of keto. Yeah, it was mostly water, you know, and then it slowed down. Yeah, because now you have no more glycogen to lose. You're not losing that water anymore. And now you're getting into just fat burning, which is a heck of a lot slower. So like those are the kind of tricky things with low carb, which I think people should be aware of. I'm not saying it doesn't work. I definitely lost fat doing low carb, but it wasn't going to be something that I felt good about doing long term, and it never got me to any of the goals I wanted to get to. I just want to put that out there for people. Yep. Because I agree with everything you're saying.
Yeah, no, thank you. Yeah. And it's like your body will tell you when it's not working anymore, because what often happens, especially in midlife, is that what you were doing before no longer works anymore. And if low carb was working for you, all of a sudden it's going to stop working for you, and you're not even going to have to like figure it out. You're just going to know, because your body's not going to move. So at that point, it's just important to assess, okay, it's something, there has to be something different that I do. And you can feel amazing again, but it's just following a different approach. So yeah. So healthy carbs, and healthy carbs are things that don't spike your blood sugar. So the whole impact of this fat burning food framework is that your blood sugar is staying very low, because when you're pairing foods with protein and then you have veggies, that really brings your blood sugar lower for anything else that you add in. So when you add in a carb, and it's really important if you can eat your protein and your veggie first, because then your blood sugar is already low, and then you add in a carb and it is going to get some spikes there. And what happens when you're spiking blood sugar is that that's when your body's saying, okay, this isn't normal. Like this is not the state that we want to continue in. So it takes the sugar out and it's stored in fat cells. So you are gaining fat, and that's how sugar translates to fat, and carbs equal sugar. So this is that flow. And so what's important is that if you're eating the carbs that you need, you really want to know the sources of those carbs, because there's healthy carbs that are very fibrous and complex. So they're even more kind of advanced than complex carbs. They have more fiber and versus fast burning carbs. And, you know, a couple examples of really great carbs are things like kind of alternative grains. So like there is things like couscous, millet, farro, buckwheat. Also eating a high fiber bread or a sprouted grain bread is great. And also lentils and beans are truly what I've seen is it is really the best. So some people have, you know, certain dietary restrictions, or they've heard that they can't have lectins. But yet the thing about beans and lentils is that they are very high fiber. They're very filling and they don't spike your blood sugar. So you're getting those carbs that your body needs, but you're not storing fat. And when you're pairing it with this protein and veggies, it's like a magic formula. Yeah. And then the final one is having healthy fats in your day. And something really interesting, you know, I want to share and is that a lot of times we hear about healthy fats, like they're like nuts, coconut oil, peanut butter. And these are things that a lot of women are eating because they are really striving to be healthy and they're doing their best. And so they're having this. But what happens with fats is it's the one food that it is very important to look at your portion sizes because it is very dense in calories. And so all of a sudden, by mistake, out of good intentions, you could be having a handful of nuts, but you didn't really notice how much it was. And so it ended up being like a quarter cup or a half cup of nuts. And that's going to increase your calories and your fat by like 300 to 400 calories, which is a significant amount of what you need in the day. And it's not going to really keep you as satiated. So just being conscious, I recommend having a serving of fat 3 times a day, and a serving of fat is around 15 grams. So just being conscious of that, and having it, what I recommend is having it at breakfast and dinner and then one snack, because it really satiates you when you pair it with the protein and the veggies. And at night, having a healthy fat as part of your dinner is really going to help you sleep so much more soundly, which is another area of that is that many women are challenged with.
I like that so much. You know, I think when you say healthy fats, you're talking about omega-3s, or there's some omega-12 in some of those nuts, which we get very little of. But the American diet is so oversaturated in omega-6s, and this is one of the contributors to cholesterol issues and all like that. And like, when we think about protein, unless we're very specifically thinking about fish, we're getting only, because protein will have some fats in it too, but it's going to be all omega-6s other than fish. And so, yeah, I'm with you. Like, we need to have those doses of omega-3s and quote unquote healthy fats. Gosh, they can be deceptive, man. A tablespoon of olive oil has 130-ish grams or calories in it, 130 calories in it, which is like, you know, a bowl of half a bowl of rice. You know what I mean? And you didn't mention rice as one of those things because it doesn't have a lot of fiber. And I love all of the recommendations you made. I think of those types of carbs of like, how long am I going to be full eating half a candy bar versus a can of beans? Mm-hmm. A can of beans is going to give me so much more bang for my buck than even rice. And I do eat rice. But when I'm eating it, I'm thinking like, this has zero fiber in it. And this, I got to pair with a bunch of vegetables or I'm going to be hungry soon. You know,
yes.
Like you're giving a lot of really great advice. Just on shaping the meal.
Yes. Yes. Thank you. And this is really about simplifying what we eat, but having a formula. Both of those things are really important, because otherwise what happens is that it's easy and very common to go through the day without a plan. And then it's like wanting to be healthy and having that best intention, but then reaching for what's there at the moment. And when you don't combine your foods in the right way, you're going to eat healthy foods in isolation, and it's going to keep you feeling more hungry. And so you keep adding to it because you're not yet aware of how the combining happens. So like, for example, like with beans, what's really great is to try to have like a Southwest salad or a Mexican salad, and have your greens, then you put beans on it, then you put a protein, whether it's chicken, tofu, fish, beef, whatever it is. And then you can add more veggies on it as well, because other veggies are a little more filling than just the lettuce. And then you can actually add salsa onto that, because salsa is low sugar and lower fat. And the thing is, when you're eating your foods, you want to get your fat from strategic ways that keep you full. Like, every calorie should be meaningful. It's not just like, otherwise you're just adding it and they're adding up. So if you have dressing, it's going to taste good, but you're not going to really be full from it. So you're just going to need extra calories. So what I found works really well is to use salsa. And if you feel like you need a healthy fat, use half an avocado or a little bit of an avocado for a healthy fat that's actually going to fill you up. And when you mix all that together, that is going to create a dressing that's low sugar, optimal calories. You have what you need. And you're going to also be excited by this lunch. You're going to look forward to it, which is another key piece, because it has a little flavor and spice, and you're looking to that to keep you entertained versus sugar and fat and unhealthy carbs to keep you kind of excited about your meal. There's other ways to be excited by your meal.
Yeah. My My wife used to ask me, how much olive oil are you putting on that salad? And I'd say a tablespoon, but I was eyeballing it, you know? And like when she actually said, you need to measure that, it was far closer to a quarter cup. And that's just a ton of energy that I didn't think I was consuming, that I was consuming kind of mindlessly, that wasn't really making me fuller because I perceived that I was dieting, you know, and that perception made me hungry, whether I was getting enough energy or not. So I like that. You got to be careful of that. That dressing can totally turn your salad into a Big Mac, you know?
Yeah, exactly. So, and then it's just like looking at that framework. So, you know, you have your veggies, tasty veggies. That's why the salsa's there. You want to have your healthy carb, then you want to have your protein. And then you could either have a fat or a carb, or if you want, you could do both. So that's how that plays in. And that's just a really easy healthy way to eat. But it's key to make sure that it tastes good with the salsa in this instance, but like we were talking about other spices as well.
Yeah. With gals, this is something I like to ask because I have no data on it. It's never going to be a part of my life other than I'm going to experience people in my life experiencing it. And I have been maybe, but perimenopause, are there changes that you've made to your diet to address that specifically?
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Growing up as a kid, my mom would never let us have real cereal. When I say real cereal, I mean the stuff that you'd find at a normal grocery store. My mom would get us the cardboard shavings at the health food store, and I was always miserable with my cereal. And then I would magically go to my friend's house, and they would have real cereal. And I would be so envious, and I would sit and eat bowl after bowl of delicious, frosted goodness, sugary, wonderful stuff. And then I grew up and I was able to buy my own cereal, but that lasted all of 2 minutes because then I started dieting, so cereal left my life entirely. Well, not anymore. Not anymore. Now there's Magic Spoon, which is high protein cereal. My favorite flavor is their peanut butter. It's incredible. Variety pack. 4 flavors are cocoa, fruity, frosted, and peanut butter. This pack has 0 grams of sugar, 13 to 14 grams of protein, and 4 to 5 grams of net carbs. Only 140 calories a serving. It's high protein, has 0 grams of sugar, keto friendly, gluten free, grain free, and soy free. It's incredible. Go to magicspoon.com/glutton and grab a variety pack and try it today. And be sure to use our promo code GLUTTON at checkout to save $5 off your order. And Magic Spoon is so confident in their product, it's backed with a 100% happiness guarantee. So if you don't like it for any reason, they'll refund your money. No questions asked. Remember, start your day off right with a delicious bowl of high-protein cereal at magicspoon.com/glutton and use the code GLUTTON to save $5 off. Thank you, Magic Spoon, for sponsoring this episode. Or are you finding that this diet seems to be conducive to helping you through that?
Yeah. So I have so many women that come to me that are in perimenopause or menopause, and things really changed for them as they were going through it and then also going to menopause. And the things that were working for them before didn't work anymore. And so they'd been stuck. Sometimes they were not even happy where they were before they went into it. So it just added onto it. But some people were healthy and they were just stuck. So they'd been gaining what we find is happening is women are gaining 2 to 3 pounds a year and it just keeps adding and adding. And it becomes quite scary because you start to, these are women that are working out, that are eating healthy, but their weight is just gaining. So this way of eating where you're focusing on your blood sugar balance, but you're also conscious of your portion sizes. That's the other piece of this that is very important. It's not only about balancing blood sugar. You have to make sure you're eating the right amount of food, meaning enough food, which is the first issue that we find that most women in perimenopause and menopause are under eating, and there's no way they're going to lose weight. That's why they've been stuck. But eating what is the key? Like, how do you eat more? What more do you eat? And but some people are also overeating without realizing it. So once we put them into this framework and then we show them the portions, they lose weight so systematically. And we really look and make sure they're eating the right amount of fat, the right amount of protein, they're enjoying their meals. And so that happens really, really quickly. For me, I have been able to, it's definitely where there are changes happening. Like, this is not something that is like, even if you're really healthy, you're going to see some effects that happen. And so some of that is like lower energy, lighter sleep, having a weight increase, especially in the belly area. And so as I started realizing, sometimes it takes a little while to realize what's happening. Cause you're like, well, it was COVID, maybe it was COVID, maybe it was this. So you're like, what's going on? And then when you start doing everything, what I am seeing is that it's really the other aspect to eating in this fat burning way is to build muscle and to be consciously building a lot of muscle. And so that's what, as I've started over the last 1.5 years, I was always lifting. But over COVID, I let it go away. And so that plus, if you don't build muscle in your 40s, and even before that, we're losing up to 3% of our muscle mass every year. And that's really fast. Like that is a major reason that women's weight is going up. Around this time frame, and will continue if you're not focusing on building muscle. So muscle is going to help you balance your blood sugar more because there's going to be more insulin receptors there. It's also that muscle burns more calories than fat. So if you have more muscle in your body, you're able to eat the amount that you want and even actually eat more to really truly build muscle. And you're just going to burn that fat. So your metabolism is going up because you're bouncing your blood sugar by your food. Then you have more muscle on your body that's helping keep everything low and burning more calories. So this is literally a fat burning body when you're doing these things. So the thing is, you just have to be more conscious in your midlife time frame that you're eating enough to support this muscle building. And that's why going back to the eating more is so critical, because if you're eating less than your body needs, you will stay stuck because your body needs more to build muscle. Because your hormones are also starting to decline. So we have less testosterone, which is important for muscle building. We have less estrogen, or it's fluctuating. All of that is affecting our muscle mass. So really like dialing in what you're eating and then adding in workouts. That's kind of the way that I recommend you get your food right, because that's 80% of how you're going to see results. Then you start adding in a habit of working out, focusing on strength training. And then if you are still feeling like you need something more, then you start looking into your hormones. But this work around food and exercise, all natural things, are actually going to balance a lot of your hormones. And then you could supplement a bit with what you may be missing. Yeah. So, yes.
Do you find women resistant or hesitant or apprehensive about resistance training because they think they're going to look like female bodybuilders? Because I've had this conversation with my wife a lot where I'm like, couple times a week, resistance training. It doesn't all have to be cardio. And she literally is like, I don't want to look like that. And I'm like, you won't. I swear to God, you will not. If you started today and took all the drugs they took, it would take 15, 20 years to look like that. You're not gonna look like that.
That is so true. That is so true. And oh my gosh, the thing is one thing about lifting weights, it's so hard to put on muscle like that. Like, you have to be eating so much. I mean, you can't even, like, most people can't even eat that level. You have to be really dialed in. It's really hard. Like, once you start actually wanting to gain muscle, like, for those that don't realize the benefits of it, you're gonna see, like, you want it to happen faster. And so the thing about muscle, like, lifting weights to build muscle, is that actually that's what gets, like, this really sexy lean shape for women. Right. Instead of, like, a bulky manly shape, it's more like a sexy, like smaller waist, if that's what someone thinks is sexy. I mean, everyone has their own views, but you will decrease your waist from where it is. Your arms will become leaner, your thighs are going to become stronger, and, like, your butt is going to be there, you know? And so it's actually, like, yes, this look that is great. And you can't do that just by cardio, because all that is like getting the fat down, and then you kind of could have that, like, skinny fat look or, like, weak look. And, you know, what's really great for us is to be strong and sexy and lean. That's the healthiest way to be as well. So, and building muscle is going to help to really fight off a lot of things that happen in our older age, from, you know, just like from like heart related, blood pressure related. So many of that is going to just be so much less because we have that muscle that's protecting us. So yeah. So I do hear that from so many women, that they are afraid of that. And so I just, you know, it's just about education, but it's also about, like, what people can look like when they start adding it, then that kind of, like, gets you excited. But the key really is nutrition first and building that on. And if you even only working out twice a week with weights, like a one upper body day and one lower body, or one lower body and one total body, because you really want to get that lower body, because that has some of the biggest muscles, like your glutes, your thighs, overall legs. So when you're building muscle in certain areas, it's not, like, localized to that area. You don't have the benefits only in that area. If you build, like, your glutes are really getting strong, you're going to actually burn more fat in your stomach because you have more muscle on your body. And so it's just going to work together with where your weight is ready to go first. And when you pair this with a blood sugar balancing way of eating, like I'm sharing, it's pretty shocking, but your, like, weight will come off from our waist first instead of last, which is usually kind of the thing that happens. It feels like there's that stubborn belly fat, but it actually just comes down. And as I started adding more of strength training to my regimen, which I always had before COVID, but kind of, like, wasn't optimal during that time. All of that belly fat that had started to collect, it actually flattened out again from the lifting. Yeah. And a little bit of cardio too, but mainly lifting.
There's so much data on how necessary muscle mass is and lean tissue are for later on in life, like how your not only your lifespan, but your quality of life, like both of those things kind of are correlated to the amount of muscle mass you go into those years in. And this has been one of my huge concerns for a long time with the way we diet in America. And I have anecdotal information on this. I have scientific information on this. But, like, my experience was I became obsessed with DEXA scans 15 years ago. And mm-hmm. I would go and get my body scanned and look at how much weight I was losing. And I was doing a relatively high-ish protein diet, but I was doing zero resistance training. It was all cardio. And I was losing 40% lean tissue. Every time I got the DEXA scan, 40% lean tissue. And when I thought about the way I had dieted for so long, which was all crash diets, where I would lose a ton of weight really fast with zero attention on resistance training and protein, I would posit that I was always losing 40% lean tissue. But the problem was, when I'd gain the weight back, I was not putting back on 40% lean tissue. I was putting on almost total body fat. So what would happen over time with these kind of yo-yo diets is I would get progressively fatter, but, you know, my weight, if we did a stat, would be roughly the same. Let's say I was 400 pounds. if over years, I maintained an average of 400 pounds, but because I dropped low, losing lean tissue, my body fat percentage was actually going up at that rate. And I think it's doubly important for women to know this because they diet like that quite a bit. I have a wife and daughters, and they have lots of friends, and I witness this pattern of, and my attempt, my appeal to them is, okay, you're going to do the diet you're going to do. You're going to do the crazy diet. Get more protein, do some resistance training, you know, because you want to mitigate that lean tissue loss as much as possible.
Wow. Yes. Oh my gosh. It's like, it's working against you actually to only do cardio because yeah, you're losing numbers, you're losing it on the scale, but it's a lot of it is also from muscle, which is, and this is this, if there's any proof, like if you're doing cardio and you don't go to the gym for a week because you had a vacation or because something happened, you're going to see from people that have like a regular metabolism, you're going to see that weight starts to come right back on because you don't actually have a body. You don't have a strong body. You don't have you haven't changed your body composition. You've just decreased a lot of things in it, including your muscles. So that weight is going to come back on. Now, if you've been lifting, it's so much more long term because you could take like a 6 month break. I mean, it's going to start coming down at some point. It's going to start coming down a little bit during that time. But if you were to even like say, like, let's say 3 months, you could be the same as where you were. And it could even happen for 6 months because muscle, you have so much more muscle. So it's still increasing your metabolism and it doesn't just go away as quickly. So you've actually created this fat burning body that is resistant to weight gain and to so many other things as well. So yeah, I mean, and actually what you're talking about is kind of similar to like the weight loss drugs, like Ozempic, for example, where you know, where you are, the way that it works, the mechanism is that it keeps you less hungry. So that's how it's working.
You're just eating less.
You're eating less. Like you're tricking yourself. Your biology has changed that you're not craving food. So as a result, you are going to lose weight because you're not eating as much, but that mechanism can be achieved, first of all, from real food. As we talked about with the fat burning food framework, you're going to feel satiated. You're not going to feel like you need to eat unhealthy additional food. But the other thing is that as you're losing weight on Ozempic, or the other weight loss drugs, it actually decreases your muscle mass. Like a lot of it is going down. You're losing muscle and you're losing fat. So that's why when people get off of it, they put that weight back on right away. And actually their metabolism is lower because they put back on fat, just like you mentioned happened. So it's working against people. So I really feel like, you know, share like educating there. You have to think of the effects of what it's doing to your body. And it sounds great for now. And for some people, it could be very helpful. But to actually be like disintegrating your muscle mass is going to lower your metabolism for the long term. It's not the direction of really sustainable weight loss.
Yeah, I think doctors should bring that up and like have some kind of plan because you can mitigate that muscle loss with protein and resistance training. I don't know that on any diet where you go to like really low caloric intakes that you're not going to lose some. Even bodybuilders are going to lose, and they're on drugs. They're going to lose some lean tissue when they get super, super lean, a little bit.
Yes.
But like, If you eat enough protein and you do some resistance, by the way, like you said, does not take a lot. Just to preserve lean tissue is not hard. It's not like you're in there killing yourself in the gym. It just you just need to like have your body tell your muscle, we need you. We can't use you as fuel. We need you to survive because your body's kind of a very advanced dumb machine. It doesn't know you're in the gym. It thinks you're doing everything you're doing to survive. So you lift some weights, your body goes, oh, this muscle was part of our routine. We can't get rid of it. So now the muscle stays. And like, for me, the weight loss drugs are really no better. They're just an easier version of some kind of like a crash diet. And there are ways to make them more ideal if you get your protein up and resistance trained. But like, I suspect the majority of people, you know, look, it's one thing if you're 500 pounds, you've tried dieting, nothing's working. Yeah. Okay. Get on a drug that's going to take that weight way down. Fine. But if you're trying to lose the same 40 pounds and you hop on Ozempic.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And you've done yo-yo diets in the past, you got to be prepared for that weight to come right back and doing some resistance training and eating some more chicken breasts or salmon fillets is probably going to be beneficial.
Yes. Yes. Doing it in the right way, you know, definitely learning the habits because it can end like and it will end. So, but if you're creating those habits of eating the right way and building your muscle, then yeah, it could be an acceleration, you know, if you do that work. And yeah. Then you also feel that you are satiated when you're not on that. And it's just really learning and educating yourself. So, yeah.
Do you find gals, you are primarily focused at girls, right?
Uh-huh. Yes.
Or do you training dudes too?
No, just women. Just women. Yeah.
Do you find that when they go from whatever their standard American diet is, or I don't know, Western diet, to eating more of these whole foods, they feel quite a bit better?
Oh, yes, absolutely. That is such a quick benefit where it's like their energy skyrockets. So the first thing that happens that they start being able to sleep better, they have more energy during the day. I mean, a lot of times we are not realizing how much affect the food that we have has on our energy. Because if it's quickly giving you a blood sugar spike and then it's bringing it down very quickly, that's what causes those sugar crashes where you feel really tired. And this doesn't only happen from sweets. Like sugar is in so many non-sweet foods that we even think of as healthy. And so it's really knowing, okay, what is going to spike my blood sugar or not? I don't want to have these huge spikes and crashes, because when you're eating in an even way all day, like you don't have that 2 p.m. slump. I mean, you get 3 more hours of productivity, you know, often for compared to people that usually have slumps. Also, when you wake up awake versus like waking up saying, I want to go right back to sleep. And that can easily happen in midlife with the change in cortisol that many women have. So you have that energy, you feel more positive, because we've also seen that foods that are healthier for you, like vegetables and protein, they actually have a gut brain connection. And so when you're eating foods that quickly digest in an unhealthy way, it actually creates more depressive thoughts. And so it's even the mental health aspect of it that is affected by what we eat. So, you know, weight is definitely kind of like the reason that a lot of people want to get started, but it's not just numbers on the scale. It's more about feeling better, having more energy. Also, for example, you know, if you're taking a hike and you have 20 to 40 pounds extra, it's like you're carrying a 20 or 40 pound backpack with you when you're hiking. And that's going to create, you know, it's not going to be as much fun, because if you were lighter, you could do more, you would feel better about it. So, there's so many additional benefits. And then, of course, there's a lot of women that I help now that are in their 60s and 70s and have quite a bit of medical issues from, like, say, blood pressure, blood sugar, cholesterol. And so you're fixing all of that when you're eating the right way, because you're all of those levels are coming down. You're normalizing everything. And that brings years to our lives to eat like that.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to take some of your advice to heart and really try to mess around with some more spices and actually make my veggies enjoyable. I think that I've been just biting the bullet and getting through them. And I actually have a chef friend named Alon Hall, who is not vegan but has opened vegan restaurants. And when I asked him, like, why are you doing that? You eat meat. He said, like, I can do – he basically, his position is vegetables are so much more versatile. Like, you have a steak. A steak is a steak is a steak is a steak. It doesn't become something else. But he can take, you know, a beet and turn it into a noodle, or, you know, make it into a tartare, or have it be a salad. And that is interesting. It takes a little bit of creativity, I think. But, like, I think he's right. Like, you can take all these vegetables and add some spice and some lemon and some acid and make them into something more interesting. I'm just being lazy about it.
Well, the thing about spice is that you can be lazy, because you don't have to, like, combine so many things or chop so many things. You just sprinkle some on. And, you know, one of the easiest ways to start with spices is to, for those that like, you know, having coffee or tea in the morning, or fruit, is to add cinnamon to your coffee or tea or over your fruit, because cinnamon helps you decrease blood sugar directly. And it also gives you that sweetness. So what's happening is that you're storing less fat when you add cinnamon to your coffee or to your tea versus adding, of course, sugar. But even artificial sweeteners will cause your body to crave more sugar. And even natural sweeteners, like, say, monk fruit or honey. Monk fruit is a little better, but honey is still going to elevate your blood sugar. And so, you know, but when you have cinnamon, it actually lowers your blood sugar. So it's like counteracting. You're just in the best situation possible. So, you know, adding turmeric to your eggs, because turmeric is anti-inflammatory. And so it's reducing the puffiness in our face. It's reducing puffiness that could be in that is in our belly. Also helping, of course, with joint pain. And then you combine that with a little bit of black pepper, because that really activates the absorption. Wow. So that's another great one. Turmeric, it's a very mild spice. It's just bright yellow. That's why it's great with eggs.
I'm literally thinking about that and thinking, wow, the eggs are going to look so healthy. You know, you get the healthy eggs and the yolk is, like, bright yellow versus the pallid ones that most of our supermarkets carry.
Yes, absolutely. So definitely doing that. And then it's like, you feel so good because you kind of want to eat those healthier protein, more eggs, like they're giving you that protein. And then also using something like, for those that like spice, something like cayenne pepper, and you could sprinkle that on your vegetables, or you could even sprinkle that, you know, really, really pretty much on any of your proteins, like whether it's any meat, any shrimp, just whatever that is, sprinkle that on. And then cayenne pepper, what it does, because of the compound capsaicin, it's going to, that creates more calorie burning. Like, and you could feel it if you're not somebody that usually eats spicy food and you eat it, you're going to feel like you're going to start sweating a little bit. So, you know, something's happening. Yeah. And for those people that do eat spice already, like me, it's just adding more of it, but then also adding the other things and always staying focused on the food that you're adding it on too. But, like, making it fun with these spices.
Yeah, that's amazing. This has been a fun conversation. Thank you so much.
Absolutely.
All right. Talk to you later.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
And now for the Q&A.
Here is a question for you from Chris.
Hi, Chris.
Chris asks, do you ever have days where you just don't want to go to the gym? And if so, what do you do? Or are you so into it now that you never feel that way? I'm still struggling with making myself go consistently. I wonder if I will ever not struggle with that. Thank you.
Chris, dude, I don't want to go to the gym all the fucking time. All the time.
I'm surprised to hear that myself, because I did not know that.
all the time. I would say 50% of the time, I do not want to go to the gym. I would say, you know, maybe I'm clinically depressed. I don't know. 50% of the time, I wake up and think like, I just want to lay in bed all day. Since I was super indulgent with myself, they've created streaming television. They've created apps that deliver food to your house. This seems like such a blissful existence of like, you know, I wake up some days and just think like, got to get an Xbox and sit here. I want to sit in my room all day playing Xbox the way I did when I was a teenager, like, and order pizza and fucking dip my pizza in ranch dressing. Do you know people do that? Like, that sounds incredible. And maybe a little Tabasco all the time. Doing something enough and having it make me feel better is what I think about when I wake up and think, I don't want to do that today. Now, there's different things that come into it, too. Like, if I have an excruciatingly hard day at work, sometimes I'll work 15 hours in a day. And sometimes it's very physical. And sometimes I don't get enough sleep because I have to be back at work. So there are certainly days when I have to, like, really be honest with myself. Is getting less sleep today so that I can get to the gym and put myself through something physical when I have work? And there will be occasional days where I'm like, no, it's actually better for me to sleep. But that's not quite the same as waking up on a Saturday when I have nothing to do. I've gotten a perfectly fine night's sleep and going like, I want to just order Postmates and watch TV all day or play a video game, which I'm not allowed to have in my house because Brandy banned them 15 years ago, or even more, like maybe 18 years ago, she banned them. Did I ever tell you the story of how video games got banned?
No.
I was doing a movie called Mr. Woodcock with Billy Bob Thornton and Sean William Scott and Susan Sarandon. And this was back when movie studios had so much money. They don't have as much money unless you're like Marvel and Sony, but all the movie studios had a lot of money. And so like you would get these huge, these not huge, but you'd get these gifts. Like I got a basket to start that movie that had like trips to the you know, St. Regis in Laguna Beach and bottles of wine, which I don't drink, and gave to my wife, and an Xbox and 100 Xbox video games. Like this was just waiting for me in my trailer. And one day during shooting that movie, I got off. I you know, you go back to your trailer in between scenes, and I go back to my trailer and I start playing a video game. And then they come and they say, hey, we're scrapping that next scene and you can go home. And I'm like, oh, okay. And I keep playing the video game and like kind of cut to, I play the video game all night and they come back to work and say like, you're still here. Well, it's time to go to hair and makeup. And I'm like, holy fuck. And I call Brandy and she's like, you didn't come home last night because you sat in your trailer and played a video game all night in some fucking weird parking lot in Pasadena. That video game is never coming into this house. And you're now, video games are banned. Cause that's the kind of like degenerate addict I am. And so I'm not allowed to play video games. But you don't think there's like, you know, there's this new video game. I don't even know what it's called, but I saw like a weird preview for it where it's just the universe and there's thousands of planets you can travel to. And each one has unique, I don't want to call them people because they're aliens, but like unique humanoid type things. And there's wars on some planets and other planets are super peaceful. Like that sounds fucking awesome. That sounds like Ready Player One. Like the beginning of Ready, you don't think I want to do that and just eat cheeseburgers all day, all the time, all the time. I suppose there was a period of my life when I was a little kid where I didn't brush my teeth unless my mom told me to. And she told me to enough that I then just brush my teeth. And there are, I can't say there are many days where I wake up and don't want to brush my teeth, but sometimes it's a chore. Sometimes it's like, oh God, I have to do this fucking thing every day. That's what going to the gym is. After a while, that's just what I do. And there are plenty of days I don't want to do it. But the days where the little voice telling me not to do it didn't win led to this point where it's where that little voice gets smaller and smaller and smaller. And so even if I don't want to go, that little voice is so insignificant that I can kick it in the teeth and say, shut the fuck up, you bad influence you, and just go get it done. And I know I'm going to feel better. If you're going to the gym and you're hurting yourself to the point where you don't feel better at the end, don't do that. Find something that makes you feel better. And so that will make it easier. Maybe you're a tennis person or a pickleball person or, you know, I don't know what it is. Or, you know, you've got bad form and you're hurting yourself when you lift weights. Find some YouTube videos. Find a routine that you don't mind doing that makes you feel better and proceed.
Yeah. Awesome. Love that. That is helpful. Every time you answer one of the listeners' questions, I get something from it too. So thank you to everybody who sends their questions in. Please send us more. You can email them anytime, day or night. Hello@AmericanGlutton.net.
Thanks for listening to this episode of American Glutton. I'm Ethan Suplee. You can follow us on Instagram @AmericanGluttonPodcast. Sincerely.